Hey, everybody. My name is Bill, and I am an alcoholic. All right. Can you hear me and see me out there? I'll try to stand up a little bit if I can. But, before we get started, could I ask everybody just for a moment of silence, please? And with this silence, you guys do whatever you please. I know what I'll be doing. Thank you. Again, my name's Bill. I am an alcoholic. And my sobriety date is October 21st, today, of 2005. And amazing to be speaking on my anniversary, but also there's somebody here tonight that's really dear to my heart, and I'm already starting. Here we go. He had a really big part in my recovery, and he was there wiping the tears, and just told me it was going to be okay. And that person, my brother, would you please stand up, bro? Let me see if I can get my stuff together. Woo! All right. My name's Bill. I'm an alcoholic. I grew up. Oh, it's so interesting. I grew up in a little town outside of Gainesville, Florida. A little town called Keystone Heights. One stop light town. Basically, everybody knew everybody. And when you drive down the road, you pretty much feel like the mayor. You're waving at everybody. You know, just kind of going around. And I started drinking a little bit. I remember picking up a drink, probably pre-teenage. Grabbing liquor out of my parents' cabinet and putting it in a mason jar, and off we'd go in the John boat, me and my best friend, and off fishing. And it was fun. We had a great time. Went out fishing, laughing. Everything was great. Came home, nobody got hurt. And got into high school, and still it was fun. You know, on the weekends we'd get a couple cases of beer, and off we'd go. We'd go into the woods and build bonfires, and you know, do donuts in the truck and whatever, and you know, and have a good time. And really, nobody ever, you know, there was no troubles. It just slowly but surely, you know, through time, it just gradually, you know, with this being a progressive disease, it finally, you know, started showing itself. And I graduated high school, and I moved to North Carolina. Went to college up there, and there's this microphone. And college was great, you know. Still, I never related really anything, any of the problems or anything with alcohol. But slowly in college, I started missing classes, and I'm starting to lose my train of thought here. kept trying to stay in school. Kept missing my classes slowly but surely. And okay, here I am, North Carolina. I'm back, folks. Anyway, school, just drinking up there, you know, got in with a group of people, and, you know, the party was on. We were just, you know, cruising, doing school, and that was it. And slowly started missing classes, and basically wasted all my parents' money. That was what, you know, boiled down to. I held on to one class, I remember. It was rock climbing. I kept going to this class over and over. I was like, I'm not going to fail this one. I flunked out of everything else, you know. I started missing my classes and scooting off to the local bar. Well, not the local bar, because I wasn't old enough to drink then, but, you know, to my dorm room. I remember people would come up to me and they'd say, hey, you want to go out tonight? I'm like, no, I'm okay. And then hear people, okay, well, I got a bottle of Boone's Farm. I'm like, fantastic, you know, that's great, let's go, I'm ready, you know, it's on. And and that continued, and finally I flunked out of school there, and I moved on. I guess I was just looking for that geographical cure. You know, I thought the next place I would be, you know, new friends, and, you know, I would settle in, and I would start, you know, learning how to, you know, become a grown-up, I guess, you know, growing up. But, so I moved to Tallahassee, and I got to Tallahassee, and I thought I was, you know, going to do the right thing. I was going to take some drafting classes, and my goal was to become an architect, and that obviously didn't happen either. went to class one day, and my was standing in front of class, and we were all outside, and the teacher wasn't there. He didn't show up, and I and found out that he had a massive heart attack. So after that, I was just feeling pretty bad about the whole situation. So obviously, stuck my head in a bottle, and off I went, and never got back into school after that. It was just a slow decline. Tallahassee. So I just kept on, basically with the drinking, just kept progressing over the years and just kept going and, more and more. And I just, kept looking for something else in my life. My self-esteem was about this big, and I was just a real insecure person, totally all through my life. And, my height was always something that kind of bothered me a little bit. But, when I drank, I always felt taller. I'd walk into, someone out there's laughing, and, I'd put a drink in me. And boom, there we go. I could walk into a room and I'm like, all right, this is cool. Everybody here, I feel the same size as everybody. But, sorry. So Tallahassee, I was in Tallahassee and I got into a car accident, and a little bit of irony here, a drunk driver hit me, got a good bit of money out of the deal, so ended up, basically for about 2 years, I didn't work, or do anything. I just spent the money, that was it. It was a party, limos, concerts, whatever, that was it. It was a party, for about 2 years, and then finally it got to a point where, I went to the ATM machine, and there was no money left. Foreclosure, the whole thing, just slowly, everything, and I just never related any of this to alcohol. Never. I'm like, I don't have there's nothing wrong. I can drink, drink like the next person. I just, everything just slowly was slipping away. So ended up with a good bit of money and took off. I had a great idea that I would move again, because I thought all these people that I was hanging around, I'm blaming everything on all my friends. He made me drink, he made me do the drugs, that thing. And the drugs are a part of my story. I'll try to keep them out, and I do know this is AA. So I just basically was blaming everybody, everybody. It's just amazing. I was in quite a few relationships, long-term relationships, and they, the violence was just unbelievable, that was it. I remember a couple times just always, looking at the person I was in a relationship with and blaming her. I was like, look what you're doing to me. You're making me drink. Look at this, and the cops, just an absolute mess, getting popped left and right, and I was out in Panama City, and I got popped on a burglary charge out there, and obviously I was drunk, and I just the whole time I kept going, I don't have a problem, I'm just not, this is what I'm supposed to be, an angry drunk. That's what I thought. I'm like, this is gonna be me. This is how God made me, So this is it. I'm just gonna keep on doing what I'm doing. But anyway, so I ended up moving from Tallahassee after the car accident, drunk driver hit us, and went to Cocoa Beach again, geographical cure, thinking, all right, it's gonna be good here next time, something will be new, I'll turn a new leaf, life will be good. And got to Cocoa Beach and bought a house, I bought a car. I thought all these things would fix everything, all right, cool, this is great. I got a house, I got a car, I got a girlfriend, yada yada yada, I'm on probation, everything's good. I don't know where that came from. That was pretty funny. Thanks. Cocoa Beach. I'm trying to keep this in a little bit of a line. But anyway, the final finally the house went into foreclosure, and I was basically at a point where I was getting ready to be homeless, and my brother took me in. He took me in, he and his wife, for quite a while, and I was pretty much their maid for a while while I was job hunting, and while I was on probation, I had a urine analysis test, so obviously I wasn't able to do any drugs, but I could continue to drink. That was a thing, and I did, and I drank and I drank and I drank, and I just kept on and on, and over the years, it got to a point from being in high school, having fun, going out on the weekends and having a good time, and then finally when the fun went away, it just everything just disappeared. When I'd pick up a drink, it just seemed like it had to be, it was a job almost always. When I wasn't drinking, the pain was so severe, mentally, emotionally, physically, the whole nine yards. Alrighty, losing track again here, folks. So anyway, my brother took me in for a little while, and slowly I found another place to live, and moved from his house, and moved out. I think it was Claremont, and found a place out there, a nice little neat place, and got a job, and things were going good. I felt like it, but there it was. There I was again. Everywhere I went, I just kept looking for this whole geographical cure, and I just couldn't get it. I thought everywhere, somebody was going to fix me eventually. Somebody, please help. I was crying out so hard every once in a while. And today, knowing that there's no human power could relieve me from alcoholism, only God, that's it. That's the only thing. So anyway, I was out in Claremont, and things started getting rough out there again. There I was, locked down for days and days in my house, and I just, I peek my head out of my house and look around, and let everybody know that I'm breathing. I'm still okay, all right, I'm fine, I promise. and lo and behold, I just got to a point where I just couldn't move on, go on, and I moved into Orlando, just still trying to move, running the whole time, and I got to moved into Orlando here, oh, the silence. And still, there I was again, basically, still just wrapped up. And over the years, it kept on, with the drinking. And finally, eventually, it just got to the point where I was literally drinking every minute of every hour, of every waking hour. I'd wake up in the morning. Actually, I was sleeping in like 2-hour intervals. And I'd wake up, slam a six-pack and go back to sleep, pass out for a couple hours. And just over and over. And I kept asking myself, how come I can't sleep? And I go, well, I gotta care. Let me have a six pack and I'll go back to sleep. And then 2 hours later, wake up again. And this just was on and on and on. And I'd wake up in the morning and pack my cooler. Most normal people pack their cooler, with lunch and sandwich and stuff. And at 6 o'clock in the morning, here I am, black eyes, circles, the whole nine yards. And this is funny. I had this little convenience store that the guy would, he'd always sell me beer before he could actually sell it. He had a little black bag over on the side, and I'd walk in and he would say, okay, just make sure there's no cops out front. And off I'd go, put the beer in the cooler and off to work I'd go. And for years and years, it just kept on. And I tried doing this thing on my own a couple times. Through my job, through the HR, I found out that they had, some psychiatrists or psychologists. And I went to this lady, and we sat down and talked for I think I had 8 free sessions, and I did 2 of them. I went in there, and the second one, she said to me, Bill, she said, I've been sober for 27 years, and she said, I think AA would be good for you. And I just kind of shrugged my shoulder, whatever, I don't need this. I can do this on my own. I can definitely, I can kick this thing. And again, knowing today, knowing beyond what I know, that no human power could cure me of this. And so I went on, and I didn't go back to the sessions. And I remember she left the message, and she said, I hope everything's okay. And hopefully one day I'll run into her and thank her for her words. Let's see here. And yeah, I tried locking myself in a hotel room for weekends, and that was real good. And I am over at New Smyrna Beach, locked myself in my hotel room, and I end up back in Orlando for some reason. I don't know why. God's doing things for me today that I just absolutely cannot do for myself. I mean, God is great. He's just He's working wonders in my life, man, today. Good and bad, you know. I know He's always there. He's got my back no matter what. Excuse me. It's shaking a little bit. Finally, just about my last run. I mean, I could just keep on little war stories and this and that. But I got to a point where I remember I called my neighbor one time. I'd been up for a couple, 2 or 3 days. Yada yada yada. I called her up and I asked her. I said, please come over. And I said, I need you to get rid of everybody in my house and out in my yard. And yeah. And she came down, and she knocked on the door, scared the living crap out of me. And I said, would you please get everybody out of here? And she said, Bill, she said, there's nobody here. And I said, well, will you get the people out in the front yard? I said, will you get the people out in the front yard out of here? And she said, Bill, there's nobody here, darling. She said, it's just your mind. And I said, okay. And she said to me, tomorrow, can I take you to an AA meeting? And I said, yeah. So I went, it was actually over off of Lancaster, Southside or Westside Club, I'm not sure, the one off of Lancaster. And I went over there, and went to the meeting, and obviously I only slept a couple hours, and I sat in the meeting, and I shared a little bit. I told them that, you know, my life is just, I'm done, I couldn't do anymore. And they started passing the basket around. And I got up, and I started walking to my car, walk outside, and people were like, no, don't go anywhere, don't. And I'm like, I'm just going to get a dollar, I'll be right back, okay? So now I see how you guys do this. I'm not going to let me go. Anyway, I went out to the car, got my dollar, I came back, put the dollar in the basket, then I left. Out the door. See you guys. That wasn't when it stuck. I remember text messaging my brother. It must have been a couple months or whatever. I heard that he was doing this AA thing, and I was like, well, you know, if he's doing it, I might as well give it a shot. Let me see, because you know we're both in the same boat, you know, together, and both living this, you know, just unbelievable lifestyle, and we're both in the same boat, but we were both going in different directions, so we didn't get along for too good. And all of a sudden we started talking, and I text messaged him one time, and I said, you know, I said, I hope one day. I hope one day I become God conscious. We ended up talking, and I asked him if I could come up and see him. And he said to me, he said, yeah. He said, come on up. He said, please do me a favor, just don't drink. And I kind of, you know, I said, okay. And I hung up the phone. I'm laughing to myself. So the next day, I end up in the car, and I'm heading up. And this is literally, I was talking to my sponsor about this. Literally, this is my road to recovery. I hop in the car, and a couple cases of beer, and off I go. I'm heading to Myrtle Beach, and I had no idea what was going to happen. So that 8-hour drive turned into 10-hour drive. I'm cruising down 95, and I'm heading up, and I'm like, oh, here's Jacksonville. Well, I'm a little tired. Let me pull into to Jacksonville and see if I can get something to keep me awake. I drove around Jacksonville for about an hour, and there was nobody around that was out. The things I was looking for, nobody was there. I drove around Jacksonville. I guess everybody was sleeping. I don't know. I call it. I call it divine intervention today because somebody something had different plans for me. And so I got on the road and I'm driving up, I'm naked, cruising down 95. And I'm serious too. I pull in to Myrtle Beach. I'm talking to my brother the whole time. He's like, "How you doing?" I'm like, "Yeah, I'm naked." Anyway, I pull in to Myrtle Beach, and my brother directs me in, and he's sitting at this little Italian restaurant, and I pull into the parking lot, and I get there, and I have my clothes on by now, and I get there, and he meets me out in the parking lot, and he gives me a big hug, and he tells me he loves me, and he says everything's gonna be okay, it's amazing, it really is. Absolutely amazing to be here today and be up here telling my story in front of you guys. Tears are just rolling. But yeah, he gives me a hug and tells me he loves me and everything's going to be okay. And he goes, we go into the restaurant, he puts a plate of lasagna in front of me. I had a couple bites and I was just drunk. I tried to keep my mouth shut. I really wanted to get obnoxious, but everybody else around the table was just really quiet and just seemed peaceful. I'm like, where's the chaos? Well, who's throwing up? Somebody should be around you. Something should be going on. So we're heading out to the car, and he says, "Come on, let's go for a ride." And I said, "No, well, my truck's here. I'll take my truck." And he's like, "No, take this other car." and looking back on it now, I see how it all was starting to unfold. But we pull up in a meeting. It's a primary purpose in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, and we pull up to this meeting. And I had back in the back of my mind, I had this thing. I knew that this was going to happen, but I really didn't. I didn't want to do it. I didn't, I wanted to keep on being an angry drunk the rest of my life. And I just was like, oh. So anyway, we get there to Myrtle Beach, or the primary purpose, and a bunch of bikers around. And I'm like, okay, this is kind of cool. Yeah, everybody's got some leather on. I'm feeling kind of comfortable. So my brother starts introducing me to a couple people. And before you know it, I turn around and he's gone. And I'm like, oh shit, what's going on? Sorry, excuse my language. And I feel a tap on my shoulder. And there's this gentleman. I talked to him just a few minutes ago, so using his names. All right, his name was Joe Plumbeck. And he tapped me on the shoulder and he said, "What's your name, son?" And I said, "Bill." He said, "Mine's Joe Plumbeck." And I said, "Well, cool, it's good to meet you. He said, when's the last time you drank?" And I said, "I don't know, maybe a couple hours ago." He said, "I think you're lying, son. So I think you drank about 5 minutes ago." And I said, "Okay, all right." So anyway, he grabs me by the shoulder and he says, "Come on, son." He said, "I want you to sit down here, don't say a word, and they're going to do these things called chips at the end of this meeting." And he said, "When somebody stands up and they hand you a white chip, or when they hand the white chip up, he said, go pick it up, give the guy a hug, sit down, and don't say another word." And I said, "Okay." So here I am. And after the meeting, we talked a little bit more. I really don't remember too much about what he said, but he did give me his phone number, and he said, "Do me a favor." He said, "Tomorrow, give me a call." I said, "All right." So I went home, and the next morning, I woke up, and I gave Jay a call, and he said, "Good morning, son." I said, "Good morning." He said, "Are you sober?" And I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Good, call me tomorrow." And that was it. Click. That was it. He's an old timer. He has like 38 years or something, and that's kind of cool, though. So I called called him for, while I was up in Myrtle Beach, I detoxed up there with my brother for about 2 or 3 weeks. I'm not sure the exact amount of time, but, we're going to 2 and 3 meetings a day. And my brother never told me to go to meetings, you know. He just was like, okay, you want to go? And I'm like, well, yeah, I don't have anywhere else to go except for here. Might as well. And I'm sitting in these meetings just crying, shaking, sweating. And my brother's changing my sheets and my little nephew's bed for me, just soaked, you know, just changing them and doing laundry, and juice me up with OJ and honey and hard candy and all this good stuff, you know. I'm like, all right, took the shakes away a little bit, but excuse me. I was up there, and I was pretty much thrown in the mix up there. I was I thought with the boys. I was up there and I was doing and I went to Sikipaw, right away. I went up to a young people's convention, I think it was South Carolina Young People's Convention, and went up there and was there for, went to that, and it was great, 3 days, I think it was, something like that, and, seeing the enthusiasm in young people that, you know, that are doing this deal is amazing, and, I slowly was deciding to come home, and my brother, I talked to him a little later, and he told me, he said, I didn't think you were going to do it, man. He said, I thought when you left Myrtle Beach, you're going to go back and, you know, you got a quick reprieve, and you're going to be back home doing your thing. And so he set me up with about 7 hours of speaker tapes and a lot of coffee. And I drove, and I got back here, and I didn't go home. I didn't unpack my bags. I went straight down to the Lancaster over there to that meeting. I went to a 5:30 meeting, and I pulled in and went to a meeting. I smoked cigarettes, but it's a smoking meeting over there, and I absolutely just did not like it. I couldn't even see the chairperson, how bad it was. Down or anything, they're smokers, I smoke, but after the meeting, here's a little divine intervention. After the meeting, some young kid came up to me, he's like, can you give me a ride home? I said, absolutely. And I asked him, I said, where are some other meetings around here? I said, I really need, you know, something else. I don't like the smoking meeting. And he told me about Central, and this today I call my home group. So when I was up in Myrtle Beach, I heard somebody said to me, my sponsor is George, I don't know if you guys know that, and somebody mentioned to me, he said, when you get back to Orlando, look this guy up, George, and he's in AA, and I was like, okay, I'm just kidding, yeah, all right, George, okay, no problem, I'll find him. Yeah, exactly. Right. And lo and behold, I get here and I remember sitting in meetings and I remember seeing this guy. He was always sitting on the edge of his seat, you know. He just looked like, you know, he was ready to carry the message or something. There was something about him, you know, just this glow. And so I asked him to be my sponsor right out there in the parking lot. And wow, was that an interesting thing to be standing at the room. I'm like, George, will you be my sponsor? And he said yes. And he's my sponsor today. I'm on my road to recovery. George is my sponsor. And slowly but surely, I got here and got him a sponsor, and we started working the steps, and it was amazing, you know, just to I was scared, but I wasn't, because I wanted to be able to live life, you know. I couldn't do it anymore. I was just locked down in my house for days and days, and started working the steps slowly but surely. Started reading the big book and meeting up with George and slowly going through the steps. The first step was great, you know, like that's like when I introduced myself. My name's Bill, I'm an alcoholic. I mean, that's a hell of a feeling to say that and actually mean it, you know, because I used to tell people, you know, people say, oh, I think you drink too much. I'm like, yeah, I'm an alcoholic, you know, just shut up so I can drink like I want to. It's not like, you know, just go away. And that's an amazing thing, you know. So we started working the steps. We started going through them slowly but surely, and definitely been rocketing into the fourth dimension of existence. I mean, this just is absolutely amazing life. I mean, it's just unbelievable. got through, you know, I personally, you know, me and George talked about, you know, steps one and two, but personally, I think I was already, you know, I already admitted it. Obviously, I was here, you know, and admitting that I was powerless, my life was unmanageable. And two, you know, can we believe in the power greater than myself? Because I used to use, I used to use this place, these rooms, these chairs, that picnic bench, the bar up there, the bartender. I used to come up here really early in sobriety and just sit, just because I felt safe. You know, this is my safe haven. I just was like, and then we started working the third step. And I remember where it says in the big book, you know, the words are optional, where you can pretty much make up your own prayer, which is so cool, because I'm not a big fan of the these, the thys, and the thous. They're not really, not my style. But so I wrote my own third step prayer, and I handed it to George, and I said, what do you think? And he said, I think it'll work. Are you ready? And I said, absolutely. So we did my third step prayer over here in the Broadway room. It was amazing. This amazing feeling, you know, making that decision, ready to move on, and then jumped right into my first step, and that was it. I started cleaning out all the garbage, all that stuff. I finally found out that, you know, that all those people out there that I blamed for everything, it was me, you know. It was my part. Most of my troubles were of my own making, and then the fifth step, you know, getting into. My sponsor pretty much knew everything about me, you know, from my first step. So when we went and did my fifth step, I was still a little nervous. I hopped in the car with a guy I'd only known two or three months, and we're going way out Highway 50, and we're close to, like, way out there, near the swamp. Actually, we were in the swamp. I'm driving, and I'm just a wreck. I'm like, wow, what's he going to do to me? He's going to make me drink the red Kool-Aid, you know, every part of you guys, you know? I still think you guys were a cult. Anyway, did my fifth step, and wow, what amazing, you know, because there were a couple of things that I actually kept to myself, you know, that first step, there's a couple of little things, those little secrets, and I let it rip. Well, God did, and he just saw that it was time, and got rid of all these goodies that I'd been hanging on to for years and years, and then six and seven, going through those, seventh step, here's the one that I love, my spiritual experience. It was right after my seventh step, asking God to remove all these character defects. I still wasn't really sure about this God thing. I always believed in God, but I never had faith, you know. I always knew there was something out there, but I never believed it. I never had it in my heart, and that was a long journey. But I remember one morning I woke up, and it was after I was going to start on my ninth step amends, and I woke up and I was just angry. I was just pissed. I kicked my dog, and I'm like, why am I still angry? Everybody around here is happy, and so I was in the shower, that's why I do a lot of praying, and I asked God. I said, God, you know, these character defects are supposed to be removed. You know, what's going on? I was still angry, and I'm moving on. I'm heading to work, and I'm still asking God, please take this anger away from me, so it doesn't spill into the rest of the day or affect anybody else. And I pull up to Hoffa and Conway, and I'm sitting at this red light, and I'm like, God, please take this anger away from me. And I'm at the red light, and I look up on the telephone pole, and there's a huge, full, mature adult bald eagle. And boom, from then on, man, I came to believe. That was the moment. I mean, it just clicked. I looked up, and there was this thing, this bald eagle, and I'm like, whoa. Like, wow, it just seemed like we caught eye contact, and the rest of my day was gold. I mean, it's just amazing how this, all of a sudden, that's when I got the contact, you know, that conscious contact. It was just absolutely amazing. And I had another experience at the same place, same intersection. I woke up and I'm like, okay, I'm getting a little cocky, sorry. But I'm like, okay, cool, these prayer things are working. I'm like, all right, well, now let me see if I asked God. I said, let me be a little bit have helped someone this morning. You know, can I please, you have helped somebody? And I pull up to that intersection, and there's a guy with his hood open. And I'm like, I'm pulling up, I'm like, oh my gosh, these things are really working. I pull up, his hood's open, and I get out of the car, I put my hazards on, I pull up behind him, and I step out. The first thing I say, how can I help you? Hello? And he hands me his keys, and he said, will you turn the ignition while I work with this wire? And I said, absolutely. And the car started up, I shook his hand, and off he went. And it's just amazing, man. You know, the power of prayer is just so cool. You know, it just really is. I mean, God is just, oh, man. Eight, nine steps sort of making some amends, and the promises came true. It's absolutely amazing. The promise was just kicking in, you know, knowing a new freedom, a new happiness, a fear of people. All these things were just, I mean, amazing how true they were coming. I used to be scared to turn my invoices in at work. I'd have other people turn them in, and now I go turn them in to the employer. I sit down and I talk to them, and I hang out. So all these promises are coming true, and then kept trucking along, you know, doing, and today doing the maintenance steps, 10, 11, and 12. It's just, you know, keeping that conscious contact. And, this is just so cool, guys. Wow. Unbelievable. Amazing. And after I finished the steps, having had a spiritual awakening, obviously, of these steps, I started helping a friend through the steps, and it's really cool to watch this guy grow, you know, right in front of you. It's really is. It's amazing. And today, I chair meetings. I try to help as many alcoholics as I possibly can. You know, I come early, I stay late, I hang out. I love the fellowship. You know, it's great. You know, I don't hope this doesn't come out wrong, but well, actually, I'll word it differently. You guys helped me get the contact that I needed. You know, AA and you guys didn't get me sober. God got me sober. He got me. You know, you guys pushed me to get that contact that I needed so bad in my life. And it's just absolutely amazing. And I've some other things. Just trying to think of some things that I do today. In my recovery. I had a big book study, so I went out to Altamont. That was my third month of sobriety. I was out there, did a big book study, and wow, that was an eye opener. It's like, wow, this is some really cool stuff in this big book. And I read it, you know, always today. I open it up. I don't read it in order today. I kind of flip through it and read a couple pages. And goodness. Well, anyway, I think I'm going to end on that note, folks. Thank you so much for being here, folks.